Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to His counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has made Him the head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love how this verse states that Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is far above, and then it lists, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the ages to come, far above anything that we might think is powerful and significant and amazing or dreadful or scary or whatever else in our world. Christ is far above all of those things. I've read before that your first memory might be rather significant if you can remember what your first memory is. I have one that I've always cherished, and it was the fact that I was going up some steps at the back of our old house that we used to live in, basically an old farmhouse, and the steps were very high. There were only two or three of them, but they were higher than probably you should have had steps going to a house. And I remember I was trying to get up the step, and someone was holding my hand. I think it was my mother, but she was holding my hand, and she was doing that thing, you know, where you help a child up the step and sort of pull on the arm without pulling it too hard, and helping me to steady myself so that I could reach that next step. And she had on one of those long coats that women used to wear back in the early 60s, showing how old I am. But that she had that long coat on, and she was helping me up the steps. And I really can't remember seeing her face, but I knew whoever it was helping me and holding my hand, even though they were far up there. I remember looking up as I was trying to get up the step, and I couldn't even see her face. She seemed like she was so far away, but she was there, and she was helping me, and I did not fall. So to me, when I read this verse 21, far above all the things that we struggle with, all the things that might cause us harm, all those things that might cause us to falter or to fall, far above all of those things is the one who holds our hand, the one who is there for us, the one who is making sure that we know that they are there for us, that Christ is there for us, no matter what, no matter what obstacle, no matter what hazard, no matter what our fears might be, that we are not capable. The one who is far above has our hands and gives us of that strength and steadies us on the way. And I love how in verse 11, it talks about the fact that Christ is the one, God is the one who accomplishes all things. It doesn't matter what it is, that Christ is the one who accomplishes all things, and that's the Christ that we give glory to. That's the Christ that we praise. You might say, accomplishes all things. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I read a theologian years ago who said that one of the problems we have as Christians is that we keep saying, Lord, please don't allow 2 plus 2 to equal 4, when we know that 2 plus 2 always equals 4. In other words, please don't allow this consequence to this situation. Allow it to be something else. And so this theologian was saying, you know, we need to stop praying, don't allow 2 plus 2 to equal 4. But when I read it, I thought, except for the fact that God is the one who accomplishes all things. All things. And so I disagree with that theologian. I think sometimes it's perfectly fine for us to say, Lord, I know that normally 2 plus 2 equals 4, but I also know there's nothing that you cannot do, that you accomplish all things, period. And therefore, we can go to God and say, Lord, we're seeking a miracle. We're seeking something more. We're seeking you to be there and to help us in this situation. Even though we know 2 plus 2 equals 4, we want it to equal 6 just this one time, or maybe 1. Who knows? But we want it to be something else. Give that to God and say, Lord, but your will, as this says, according to his counsel and will, that your God's will is done, but at the same time, we make our request known to God, because that is the God who is far above all the things that perhaps are rational, the way in which the world works, because God is the one who created and is still in control of all things that are. And then in verse 18, I love how it says, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. The hope that we've been called to. What an interesting way to phrase our Christianity, our discipleship with God, our spirituality. That is, it is the hope to which we've been called. Now, that is our personal hope that God is with us, God is far above us and taking care of us. Also, the idea that God is there for us in our situations, but also, perhaps even more importantly, that God is seen always as the hope of the world, the hope of the world in every situation, no matter what it is, that God is the hope of the world, and that we have been called to be that hope, to be the voice of hope, to be the presence of hope in desperate situations, because we know the one who is far above all things, the one who indeed accomplishes all things, the one who has called us to that hope so that we can see indeed what Christ accomplishes and that others might be able to see that as well, against all odds, against every situation, against those moments when you feel like all hope is lost. When I was in high school a few years prior to that, in one intersection on Highway 25 in Traverse Rest, two students were driving and riding in a car. One was driving, one was riding. And the passenger was the daughter of our doctor in town, Dr. Barnett. And they made a left-hand turn, and they turned in front of a car that was traveling sort of fast on 25 and smashed into the car and killed Dr. Barnett's daughter. So it was a great tragedy in the community and great tragedy in the school, of course, because things like that are just so tragic and so sad. So years later, my senior year, I was in the car. Jenny Batson, who was no kin to me, just a friend, she was driving. We were going to another friend's birthday party. And so it was in the evening, and we were so happy and excited about going to the birthday party, and all these wonderful plans had been made and everything. We came to that intersection, and Jenny didn't notice that a car was coming, and so she made a left-hand turn. Just like what happened with Dr. Barnett's daughter, she made a left-hand turn, and I saw the headlights, and I saw they didn't have time to slow down or anything, and since she was making a left-hand turn, it was coming right at me. And for that second, I thought, this is hopeless. I remember thinking, this is the end. This is hopeless, because that car was coming so fast, and we turned right in front of it. And I thought, well, this is the end. There is no hope. And the car smashed into the front of the car right in front of my door. And I remember my head hitting the windshield, hitting the side windshield, the door window, hitting that pretty hard. I had my seatbelt on. And then we came apart for a second, and then it smashed into the door right behind me. Smashed the car twice, just about bending it double or whatever, just smashed it terribly. And my door was unharmed. And even though my head was hitting that window, when everything stopped, I opened the door and stepped out. I was perfectly fine. Smash and smash, and I was okay. When I thought, all hope was lost. I thought, this is going to be another wreck, killing another high school student right here on this same spot. And I was completely unharmed by that episode. The moment where we feel like all hope is lost, we need to remember Christ calls us to be the hope of the world through Christ, through what Christ has to offer, through what God gives to us, that Christ calls on us to be the hope of the world and to be that message of hope in every situation without fail. And indeed, Christ tells us in this passage that he is over all things, verse 22, and he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All things are under the dominion of Christ. It doesn't matter what. Through the church, that dominion of Christ is played out into its fullness. The church, which is the body of Christ, and all things are brought into the relation as they should be. Today is, of course, All Saints Sunday, and we remember those who have passed this past year in our church family, but we also remember those who indeed have passed outside of our church family. And we realize, of course, that we are called upon to be the hope of the world for them in every situation, in everything that we are called upon to do, that we are to point others as we point ourselves to the one who is far above all things, the one who is far above, the one who guides and directs us according to his will. At this time, I would like for us to go to God in prayer as we remember the ones who have gone to the church everlasting in the life of our congregation since the All Saints Sunday of last year. I invite you to stand as we go to God in prayer. Most gracious God, we thank you indeed for the ways in which you have called us to be the hope of the world, the ways in which you are far above all the pain and suffering and sorrow, but that you care enough for us, that you're present with us in the midst of pain and suffering and sorrow. Thank you, most gracious God, that you are the one who fills every moment and certainly every moment of grief with your hope. We pray indeed for these as we remember them, and we continue to keep their families in our prayer. Betty Jean Rowe, Lee Merrick Scoglin, John Patrick Pat Gibson, Joanne Taylor, Carol Dean Barry Bradley, Betty June Cloninger, Bernice Merritt Hunter, Herman William Bud Bostick, Jack M. Harrison, Debbie Wesley. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, said the Spirit, they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Amen.